Off the ball rugby.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to work with Andy Farrell. I think it would be amazing. I like everything that he stands for. I like his drive. I'd like to see him up close.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
Why were Ireland able to get the job done so spectacularly well against Italy versus the last 2 years?
Yeah, I suppose Quinny touched upon it there. The composure and execution that was there at the weekend that was kind of lacking the week before just showed that when the girls can get it all to click in terms of an attacking point of view, even, it just allows you to have that bit more freedom in the attack. The defensive effort was huge, like you mentioned there, the tackle count from everybody. If you have, as you said, the work rate that's gone in there to have that many people up in double digits, it shows that it's a big team effort and the system is working really well. So, you know, that allows it to be as well. You know, the last few years, you've mentioned it, like Italy has been a bit of a place for Parma. I know I heard Aoife Wafer talking about it after the game, saying that it is a bit of bad kind of aura around the place. And we've had some tough days out there in Italy, very much see it as a fortress for them going there. And I think what the difference, you know, this weekend just shows you that if they can have that composure and execution in both the attack and the defence, it gives you the opportunities. And I think Ireland started off in a way that really set the tone. You know, Aaron King won a turnover straight off the bat. Obviously, the yellow card helps, but the difference in the composure that Ireland were able to sucker punch Italy in that time while they had an extra body up, you know, they scored that try. And I think it was a day that the backs really showed that what they were about, whereas, you know, good forward work last week, maybe where the tries came off line-out mauls and some line-out work. This week, the backs really showed what they're about as well. So yeah, I think that composure, both on the defensive part and the attacking picture, really led Ireland to tick a little bit better this week.
The Italians really couldn't handle, like, even Anna McGann and Emily Costigan, just to name two players. Like, was plenty besides. But last week, Hannah, we were talking about, like, the forwards were our main, you know, danger really, and the backs weren't very cohesive, particularly when we had in possession. It was wide passing, it was slow passing. This was complete opposite. Has this always been in Ireland and it was a bit dormant and suddenly it was awoken this weekend? Or has this been coming for you for quite a while and there was glimpses of it in France, but this was actually done properly against Italy?
Yeah, I think there was glimpses of it. I think last week we were nearly in our own way a little bit in terms of that attacking picture. We were very flat and France just suffocated the girls. You know, Aveen Riley, I thought, had a brilliant game coming back into the fold. I thought she gave quick ball off the base, but the girls got their depth a bit better and their timing a bit better. And Quinny touched upon it there. Getting gain line, getting metres off your first carries allows you to win that gain line and push Italy back, because they love nothing more than throwing bodies in the ruck, making a mess of it. But that gold ball, that silver ball of quick ball for Aveen Riley at nine really allowed then the backs to have the space. I think last week there was a bit of bodies were getting burnt because we had to throw another body in to secure a ruck, or losing ball when we should have been having easy retention of it. And I think that allowed her to get the backs to tick. But like that composure of knowing that we were a body up for the yellow card for the second try, it was two bodies up because the Italians had a player down, and it was Ireland being clinical enough to see the space, get it to the speed. The likes of Eve Higgins, and you mentioned the girls there, the sevens girls who have come in.
Yeah.
It has been there, but the ability to be able to kind of do it and make a click when it needed really, really helped as well.
How about the reaction to Sophia Steffen's try as well? Because at that point, Ireland, I think, have two converted tries in the bag. Italy are back to 15 players. Steffen scores. And in some quarters, Ireland will be forgiven for the muscle memory of the last 2 years. For you, is the mental game on a par with the physical backs game at the weekend here? Is that what Scott Beaman's really brought to this Irish side?
Yeah, I think the mental game comes from you having the right, like I've touched upon it in previous interviews that I've done, is having the right people in place. So having a defensive coach like Hugh Hogan, having a forwards coach like Alex Codling, having the people in place to give you the confidence that you know that the work that you put in is going to work, and believing in the system. So you mentioned it there, yeah, the worry off the scrum. Arguably, it could have been a penalty for Ireland when the Italian flanker broke and it caused the Del McMahon to do a double take. So you don't get the rub over the green there. But yeah, you know, it could have been a mental flick where the Italians, and I said it last week, they will always live in the game and they will live off scraps, and they will have really, you know, like the likes of Beatrice Ragone or Muzzo in the backs, they will have the flair to be able to just make something out of nothing. And they tried that. They tried to live off scraps and tried to have gain line breaks, you know, that Ireland dealt with really well. But as you said, just before halftime, and Quinny touched upon it there, that's a big swinger for you to be able to live with the Italian pressure in that 22, really on the 5 metre line for that prolonged pressure. Kind of came from an errant kick, which had been really, really good from Dana for most of the day, and the girls, that one kick allowed Italy to get in. Then big swinger, Nivo Daud gives a massive push back when they had a bit of hesitation, brings you back. But also then another big moment from her. She manages to hold it up on the line. So there's a swinger. Game goes to halftime and, you know, you're leading 5-28 instead of Italy getting a sniff. So that was huge, that composure. But it's the belief, as you said, the mental game, the belief to know that stick in it and the system that you're operating under is going to work. Just believe in it. And you can see that with the girls. Everyone believes in it and everyone is singing off the same hymn sheet. No one is trying to go off and have kind of heroic moments or anything like that. So that's a big play in it as well.
Take a detour from the ordinary. It's time to get diverted.
Owen, it's finally here. Your 10-part documentary, Diverted.
Took a long time.
Join Owen Shahan as he brings you the conversations you didn't know you needed to hear.
This has taken too long, but finally glad that it's here.
From the unexpected to the unforgettable, Diverted explores it all.
It's like the content version of your eyes being bigger than your belly, or whenever it comes to food.
Available for free on all Off the Ball channels.
For some reason, I've decided to hitchhike through Argentina.
Irlanda.
See.
Tune in and get diverted on Off the Ball.
Right, it is 8:53. Tommy Rooney is with us in glorious Technicolor live in studio. Tommy.
Morning, Ger. Hello, Colm.
Hiya, Tommy.
How are things? Decent weekend. That's happening.
In the green.
Yeah. Did you,
what was in the green?
Did you hear your performance rankings?
I heard 99% of it. I missed the football part.
Ah. I said I was going to put the four winners in, but I was like, well, that's too easy. We're going to put them all in green, obviously. Or maybe a couple of the losing finalists. But I said, no, we'll put all the finals in as a collective and then decide what colour it should be given.
And surely you went for an amberish sort of colour, no?
That's exactly what we did.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, because of the attendances?
No, not at all.
Well, that was his.
I'd have given a strong green, a bright green to Monaghan and Offaly.
Yeah.
At the weekend.
Yeah.
I'd have given.
What about Limerick?
I'd have given a decent green, a kind of a soft kind of
like their jerseys.
Hugh, yeah, just no. Limerick were good. Like, do you know, Limerick was
Wexford
brilliant.
Were unbeaten previously today.
Yeah, Limerick were very good. They secured a national title.
Yeah.
A big deal, right? The reddish ones, like Mayo, Roscommon, Kildare.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of, but like
the defeated teams as opposed to the.
I know, but there's issues there as well. You know, the Roscommon one, that, like, ever since the 12-11 has changed, their form has nosedived. You know, I think it's had a big impact on counties like Meath and Roscommon, who played slow football. They built up slowly. They had lovely forwards and they were kicking lovely scores, but their build up was slow. And Roscommon, much like Meath a few weeks ago in Navan, they couldn't live with Monaghan's pace when they upped the gears. Like when Monaghan were slipping the ball through the hands and were moving the ball as quick as they were, they couldn't live with them. When Kerry kicked the ball, Mayo didn't really seem to be able to live with them. But I wonder with the Mayo thing, you know yourself, if you have half an eye subconsciously on another game,
yeah,
does the 5% that you taper off, does that affect every other part of your game and suddenly it's a 70% performance?
Yeah.
You know?
Is that what you think happened?
A little bit, but like, geez, they were sloppy. Like, James Donoghue goes to town on them in the football pot.
Right.
Like, absolutely. Like, he presents a PhD on quality in football. And he has 5 points that Mayo don't hit the markers on. And it's well worth listening to. And you might play it tomorrow morning. Like, it's...
Sorry, that they don't hit the markers on in this one game?
It's how he measures quality in general.
Right.
And Mayo are just not living up to that in any capacity. And I think actually...
And is it isolated to that match? Can they fix it? Or is this a strain that runs through them like a stick of rock?
I think it's a bit of both.
Okay.
I think, look, that's not my opinion, but it's certainly how James Donoghue feels.
Prove me wrong by winning an All-Ireland, essentially.
Well, there's an element of that, but it's not just that. It's the, like, I'll give you one of the examples. It's like a measure of quality for James is the amount of time you have on the ball when you get the ball. Like, are you able to create space for yourself? Are you able to create a scenario on a football field where you have time to pick out a pass? Think of Paddy Clifford.
Marty Clark, yeah.
Clark. Do you know, like, they have their head up the whole time. The pass is going to the right spot in the body. It's to the player with their hand as they're moving out. The amount of hand passes, the amount of Mayo attacks that broke down yesterday from sloppiness was shocking. I asked McStay in the press conference, as a manager, how do you deal with that sloppiness during the week when you've got another game on the Wednesday? That clip has gone out, but the only thing from Kevin McStay's press conference that has caught the eye this weekend is the clip I think we're about to roll, and I'm not sure what G made of this.
Okay, so here he is talking about the treatment of David Clifford by the referee. Have a listen.
You know, like, he's a fabulous player. We'll all agree on that. But, you know, if you see the camera angles I'll be looking at now Monday and Tuesday from behind, like, he is so clever at making sure the picture that the referee sees is an excellent picture for him. But, like, he can't always be out in front. The nature doesn't allow that. He can't be out in front for every ball. So I feel Dunica was excellent on, gave him a really good shot. But, you know, I want to be careful because I really like him as a player. I think he's a fabulous player in the game. But, my God, he gets... I thought today he got well looked after. I have to say, I love him as a player and all that, but Dunica's jersey must be resistant to pulling all together. I don't know. That would be my one con, and I think David Coldrick is obviously a fabulous referee too. But Jesus, the tackle count was, I think it was 13-1 at one stage. Jesus, I thought we could tackle. That was the last time I checked. Mayo were a good tackling team. So that's something. Maybe we'll have to work on that too and tidy it up. Maybe we're not presenting good pictures to the refs of our tackle. But I've said that about Dave now, and you're all going to jump off and race out. That's not what I'm saying. I have huge respect for him, but Jay's, it has to be a two-way street when these big battles are like they're, he's 6'2" or 6'3", Jesus, you know, come on. Is it a man's game?
That's very reasonable, I think. No?
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Jeez,
what's wrong? He's not ranting and raving the way it's been presented in some quarters this morning.
No, look, his tone is of reason, but his point is unreasonable.
Is he correct about the 13-1? A free count.
To listen to this morning's full Off The Ball breakfast, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.